When will the president hold another news conference so we can ask a question of him without having helicopter noise or jet noise in the background?
I don't have anything for you to share. Obviously, the president, as you were just saying, the president takes questions pretty regularly, enjoys having engagement with all of you. I don't have a press conference to lay out for you at this time.
Is there talk of one?
I don't have anything for you, but as I said, the president enjoys engaging with all of you on a regular basis, and he'll continue to do that.
KJP, she just doesn't have any kind of answer for anybody. She doesn't have any answers. No answers for her, for you, from her, for anybody else. None. She's so helpful, right? Yeah, so helpful. Welcome to the show.
Transparent.
Dana. Yeah, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. Dana Lash here with you. Always good to be with you. Top of this very first hour on this Tuesday, which I keep brilliantly thinking is a Wednesday. And it's infant baby Kane's baby little birthday today.
Thanks.
He's younger than Hunter Biden. So you're definitely baby infant Kane.
Exactly.
Because if Hunter Biden can be little baby Hunter.
No picking on me or criticizing me.
You're
today.
Like little fetus Kane.
That's right.
I mean, if he's the baby, you're a fetus. So
we took this a little far.
Well, that's what we do on the Data Show. We take it really far. We go over the line to where you can't see us anymore. And then we're gone and we don't come back.
You're
left wondering what happened. So you can listen to whatever the hell this is. You can listen to professional lady radio across the country. You can also stream it, the video component, channel 347, DirecTV as well. And YouTube, Facebook, always good discussion. I don't know. I keep reading these headlines where they're trying to convince everybody that Democrats are nervous. They're nervous about, you know, Biden and about his reelection chances. And are they, though? Can I be really honest with you guys about something? Wait a minute before it. Because some people get angry at me when I say things that are objectively true. This is just straight truth. Straight truth. And I think it's very important. Yes, Biden is doing poorly. When you look at the battleground states, when you look at the blue wall states, it's like the Rust Belt up there. He's not doing really good, right? I get it. But you can't just have Biden not do well, right? You can't have him just not do well going into the election. In order to win, you have to have him be performing disastrously. And that means you can't always be on defense, even if you feel like you have no other recourse to be on defense. And I say this because when I look at the polling, I need people to stop getting excited. And I'm not saying this again to be mean. I want to shift your perspective. Help me help you. I need people to stop being excited about, you can't say Trump is an incumbent. A previous incumbent doesn't. Right? I need you to not be excited that the nominee, the Republican, he's going to be the nominee. I'm calling him that because that's what he is. That he's outperforming just a little bit, like in some of these states. He might be within the margin of error, or he might be leading. Stop getting excited over that. Because for a president to be as popular and for a president to be successful in this kind of political climate with these kinds of issues, you need to have him be able to pull in moderates, independents, everybody without running to the left. He needs to be doing a hell of a lot better than that. To make it all the way to November and win, he's got to be doing a lot better than that. You need to shift your perspective. And I hope the people within his orbit shift their perspective as well, because your strategy flows from that. You can't strategize based on, well, we think they're neck and neck, or, you know, it's within the margin of error, or he's, you know, a couple points ahead. You need to actually downgrade that a little bit and be super hyper realistic and think that it might not be like that and alter the strategy accordingly. If you want to win, if you don't want to win, then you're going to get mad at what I'm saying and you're going to get mad at me for speaking absolute truth that I've seen in election after election. That's why they call me to New York on election night to sit there and look at the numbers. They don't do it just because they like my hair and interpret this stuff. And we can just lose again. Keep losing. It's not a statement of deficiency towards anyone. It's not a declaration of someone's deficiency. Rather, it is. You need to alter your perspective. and then proceed accordingly to win in November. Don't think that Democrats are back on their heels. One thing I will say about Democrats, gosh, they're just shady little strategists, aren't they? They're, guys, they haven't even, they just started. I put this, let me pull this up. I put this out in your newsletter, if you get it. The over at Substack, which you should. The has all my prep and all the stuff that I'm hitting for the day. So there's a, it's in 2024 and it's the new video. It's a new TV ad that they're coming out with. The Hill reported this last night. New Biden-Harris ad highlights Trump's failures to black Americans, which I think is kind of funny because every demo, not just black Americans, did well previously. Now, granted, I got criticisms about some of the economic policy. I wanted tax cuts to be permanent, and I needed the previous Republican administration, particularly the that rhymes with mouse, the congressional, you have some of the people in the party that really wanted to spend. This was even before the pandemic. I needed them to not do that. That aside, though, people did a lot better. They did a lot better under the previous administration. Now you have Biden and Harris who are going to try to convince black people that they did horrifically under the previous. I don't know how they're going to do this. So The Hill has this piece out where they say that there's two new. This is just the start, guys. This is just the beginning. Remember, they have, actually, I think I have an old number. Previously, it was 238 million, I think it was. They have a huge war chest going into November. And their allied groups have like over 100 some odd million by themselves. Biden raised over $53 million in February alone. That's just and that's just him. The reason I break it down like that is that doesn't include all of the ancillary groups. It doesn't include the PACs. It doesn't include all of that stuff. All of those people, all of those groups are all designed. They work in coordination, even if they're barred by campaign law to in talking with each other. So they're just now starting to spend. So they've launched two new ads. They want to highlight the disaster the previous administration would be for black Americans if reelected. And the claims are that Trump cut health insurance while giving tax breaks to the wealthy and big business. He stoked racial violence, attacked voting rights, whatever, vowed to be a dictator, etc. We can't go back. I just find that incredibly interesting from California's top cop. What was the number I gave yesterday? It was over 1,900 people in a 7-year span that were prosecuted, convicted, etc. for marijuana offenses by Kamala Harris when she was AG. Okay, who do you think that? Remember, they're trying to now, she's working with Fat Joe to reach out to the black voting bloc with pot after she went after over 1,900 people in a 7-year period as AG of California. That was like what her office was focusing on, which is wild, but I digress. So that's one of the ways that they're trying to court the black voting bloc. Is that not offensive? Think about this. They don't want to talk to you about the economy, businesses. I mean, I got some statistics here. Businesses of every demographic did incredibly well under the previous administration, including black businesses, women-owned businesses, Hispanic. I mean, if you want to go down every identity block, we can. Everyone did well. A rising tide lifts all ships. So they want to convince the minority voters otherwise, and they're going to try to do that stoking literally racial politics. That's what they're doing. So these are the two ads they're coming out with. Now, this will work on some voters. You're going to have some, like the wine moms, right? The wine moms who complain on social media about Republicans and conservatives and MAGA and all this other stuff. And they're drinking their boxed wine and they're mad because, I don't know, their dreams are unfulfilled. I have no idea. It's always like these, the progressive white suburban women. Why are they the way they are? The adult mall rats. I don't know how else to describe them. It'll work on them. But well, is it going to work on everybody else? I don't know. We're going to talk more about this. We're going to explore it. Also, did you guys hear about the story from Planet Fitness? Another one. Now, I wrote about this over at Substack. Planet Fitness hates women. They hate women. Now, they've been dealing with this for a number of years, but most recently, there was an older woman who was changing in a Planet Fitness locker room, and there was a grown man, a fully grown, whole-ass man at the sink, shaving in the sink. The man was in the women's locker rooms at the women's sink, shaving. According to numerous reports and witnesses, full view of a young girl in a towel who one report said she was 12. The woman took a photo of the man. Her name is Patricia Silva of Fairbanks, Alaska, and Planet Fitness promptly banned her. She said that she walked into the bathroom and there was a man shaving. And he said, hey, and looked up and I go, you're a man shaving in the women's bathroom and I'm not okay with that. And he goes, well, I'm LGBT. And she goes, whatever that is, you're a man and you're in my space. And he tried arguing with her. And she said that she walked out and complained. And a woman yelled at her, it's a girl. And she shouted back, it's a man. Now, Planet Fitness hilariously has what they call a judgment-free zone, which does not extend to women who feel uncomfortable about a man changing in their locker room in front of 12-year-old girls. And this is evidenced by their policy to refuse to judge whether or not a bearded 6-plus-foot-tall man with balls who wants to shave at the women's sink in the women's locker room, whether or not he is, in fact, a man. That's their judgment-free zone. They're not in a position to judge that. They're very judgmental towards the woman who complained because she felt that her safety was threatened because they banned her. This is the Barney-colored gym, though, that has a lunk alarm that sounds whenever anyone works out too loud. You know, if you make too much noise when you're working out, then they sound the alarm on you. Now, members are now canceling their membership, and Planet Fitness's stock has plummeted. But they insist... They actually came out with a statement that another member's discomfort with their accommodation of a self-identified trans member, they say, well, that's not grounds to exclude anyone. But they absolutely will exclude women who voice their discomfort because only one type of discomfort matters. Here's the important point here. That's the hypocrisy, because the comfort of women is certainly excluded. Planet Fitness virtue signals at pretending to withhold judgment, unless it's judgment towards smaller, less physically powerful women. If a woman feels uncomfortable with a man in her space, she's told to shut up. If a man feels uncomfortable, he's accommodated. Their policy is designed to shame women for their concerns, our concerns, over legitimate statistical realities. And that's dangerous, because we as women are told, listen to our gut, listen to our intuition, listen to our instincts concerning safety and security. This is a social conditioning dulling of women's senses by threat of penalty of being canceled or labeled a bigot. And it's not just abusive, but it's a threat to women's safety. And Planet Fitness is culpable. Now, I'm not saying anything's going to happen, but I always like to be prepared. I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And that's, you know, maybe it's because I'm a mom and I'm always overprepared, or because I'm super type A. But you can visit ReadyWise.com. This is an American company, high quality, delicious food packed at their state-of-the-art plant right here in the U.S. of A. You're supporting American jobs. You're also getting the best, highest quality meals. I mean, for instance, they have their the 1 month supply, 2-bucket bundle. So this is 36 pouches of premium survival food, 2000 plus calories, 50 grams of protein, freeze dried, dehydrated stuff that is going to keep you going. 25 year shelf life, no refrigeration required. You just add water, super easy to prepare. And you can save 20% on any regular priced item using code Dana20 at checkout at ReadyWise.com. So the time to prepare is now. Always be ready. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20 to save 20% off of any regular priced item. Visit ReadyWise.com, code Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Do you know how many times I've seen this? Richard Simmons, bless his buttons, keeps having to tell people that he's not dead. And now he's doing it again. There's apparently a cryptic social media post, and he says, I'm not dead, stop. He's 75 years old. He's still out there, I guess. There's been a lot of questions about it. He's very eccentric, you know, the sweat into the oldies guys. We all grew up with him. But I don't know. Like, there's been a lot of questions about the people who help him and whether or not they're abusive, etc. So he says, no, I'm alive. Don't worry. What people still are anyway. So this physicist claims that the universe has no dark matter and is actually 27 billion years old. He's this from University of Ottawa published, he's a theoretical physicist, and he published this proposal that the accepted age is a trick of light, one that masks the Earth's truly, or the universe's truly ancient state, while ridding us of the need to explain hidden forces. And he says that the universe is actually 26.7 billion years, that at least so for age-wise, and that it doesn't require dark matter to exist. So it's an interesting deep dive if that's your jam. Are you affected, Kane? Are your gas prices and bank account? I love the idea. I mean, yay. Yeah. But I don't care unless there are aliens. And then you have my utmost attention. So scientists are moving one step closer to an exercise pill that gives us all the benefits of working out without moving a muscle. We are turning into those fat people on floating chairs and Wall-E. That's what's happening. That is literally what is happening right now. I read this. I'm like, everything's a pill. Everything. They're turning everything into a pill. So scientists are now, this is in the U.S. They're at Washington University. They developed, it's called SLUPP332. And they say that it could stave off also dementia, heart failure, declining kidney function, and maybe even atrophying of muscles as well.
Sounds magical.
It sounds like magic. They said that they tested the pill on mice and they increased the fatigue type or fatigue resistance type of muscle fiber. And that apparently is what kickstarted everything. So I don't know. I mean, I guarantee you whoever decides to market it will be kajillionaires. That's true. Stick with us. We got more on the way. Gold Co. Precious Metals. The gold IRA field can seem kind of confusing. And so finding a precious metals company that you can trust isn't an easy feat. Turn to Gold Co. They will help you navigate it. They have very thorough information. They offer a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers that explains how the economy and gold IRAs work. They want to make it easy for you to not just get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver, but understand how it's an important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy. They have a zero complaint record, first rate service with unmatched customer service. Add gold and silver as a hedge against inflation and protect your family with Gold Co. They're all about transparency and honesty, no pressure. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee and learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. It's their free 2024 gold kit from Gold Co. Protect your family's financial future and freedom. Get started today at danalikesgold.com and get that free gold kit from Gold Co. And learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. That's danalikesgold.com.
Real wealth takes time and effort. Don't look for a quick and easy way to make a buck. Internet scammers are posing as billionaires to try and give you financial advice with captions about where you should invest your money. Be careful of anything you read online.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
There's a report that when President Biden was told his handling of the war between Israel and Hamas was starting to affect his poll numbers, the quote is, he began to shout and swear. So when he does that, is he shouting and swearing about Netanyahu or about Hamas or about his poll numbers?
This is the when did you stop beating your spouse question, because I don't think he ever did that. And so, well, you use that as the premise of your question, which is when he does that. I've never seen him do that, shout or swear in response to that. So from my perspective, that particular report is not correct.
So that was Peter Doocy, who's, I think, my favorite reporter, because he's so likable. And he smiles at you and then he just sticks the blade in. You know, it's just so good. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lesh here with you. But that was him asking this question about, you know, the Biden polling and kind of the breakdown within the Democrat Party. That was reported by NBC. It wasn't reported by Fox. It wasn't, you know, reported by a conservative outlet. That was an NBC story that came out, and they had cited numerous sources. And so, you know, Jake Sullivan can say, well, I've never seen that, and that's fine. But I mean, apparently someone saw it enough that, you know, I mean, that's how the Dems de rules, right? If it's reported in the news, then it's gospel truth. It's truth enough to get a FISA warrant to go and spy on people just because of their, you know, political preferences. So it's probably true enough to at least ask a question about it at a White House press briefing, I would think. So they're struggling because their candidate's Biden. and it's they're going to continue having issues with this. I need Republicans to not make similar mistakes on a number of things, which I keep feeling like, you're going up against Joe Biden, a guy who can't even walk on a flat surface, stand. And Kamala Harris, who prosecuted everything with a pulse in California. And that's your team. Bad economy, getting worse, destabilization around the world. I was reading a piece about how just a little earlier, I think Joe Biden as president has presided over a record-breaking 11 embassy evacuations. Now you could say, and it was Obama before him who had the second most of any administration, Egypt, Libya, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Central African Republic, and South Sudan. And since Biden has been in office since January of 21, they've partially or fully evacuated 11 U.S. embassies in what are known as authorized or ordered departure directives. Daily Signal's keeping score. The first one was in Burma, and that was when their agency was just, that's when the administration was only in for 2 months. Now, you could say that, well, you know, that's just because, that, well, you know what, though? Things immediately were destabilizing the second he won the election, because that sends a message around the world, especially to America's enemies. And if you think that it doesn't, then you need to go back and read up on history. Afterwards, it was Chad in 2021. U.S. Embassy in Chad issued a statement that there would be unrest after the death of their president. That was just like a partial non-essential staff to leave. Afghanistan, of course, 2021 was just the disaster. Ethiopia, 21. Ukraine, 22. Belarus, 22. Russia, 22 as well. Nigeria, 22. Sudan, 23. Niger, 23. Haiti, 24. Although technically you could count Haiti twice because there was a partial even before that that I had talked about last week. So, and a lot of this also is due to the fact that the United States, with weak leadership, does not pose a threat of deterrence as it previously did. So their tyrants are empowered. This is why I don't think that Republicans need to do anything to destabilize this. They don't need to do anything to destabilize it. And that includes hiring Paul Manafort. Why? I saw this headline. Trump is expected. Now, again, expected. Although I will say that the people that I've heard talking about this, and I've heard some speculation from friendlies, the very, very few hardcore conservative reporters that I know in D.C. that have been talking about this, because Manafort ended up, well, first off, I think taxes are theft. So, you know, I'm questionable when it comes down to quote unquote tax related criminal activity. That being said, he got busted for the same thing that Glenn Simpson at Fusion GPS did not get busted for, which was a FARA violation, F-A-R-A, Foreign Agents Registration Act. Now, if you remember, Paul Manafort, they were saying, was lobbying for a foreign entity. And as a result, he had not registered as a foreign agent. And so that's ultimately why they got him. And Glenn Simpson, though, at Fusion GPS, which had been hired through Natalia Vedelitskaya, she was the Russian go-between for the oligarchs that had been hit by Magnitsky Act sanctions because they marked a dude who was blowing the whistle on massive Russian money laundering and embezzlement. And they were trying to, through Glenn Simpson's Fusion GPS, lobby lawmakers in D.C. to remove those sanctions against all of those Russian oligarchs that were affected. But yet, they never had to register as a foreign agent, but yet that's exactly what Fusion GPS was doing. But maybe they didn't have to register as a foreign agent, in fact, in part because they were hired by the DNC through Perkins Coie. That was the Hillary Clinton law firm that was the intermediate between the parties, the Clinton campaign and the DNC back in 2016. And they, while they were lobbying on behalf of Russians, they were the ones who laundered this fake discredited oppo that the FBI wouldn't even verify through the press. And then through their connections, because Nellie Oer, who works at Fusion GPS, her husband works at Bruce Oer, worked at DOJ. And it was through that connection they were able to exploit that and then get that laundered material in front of a FISA judge. And that's how they were able to bend the rules without even following the proper protocol and very surreptitiously get this FISA warrant and spied on private Americans, private citizens who were simply working on volunteering even on with the Trump campaign. So they never had to register, but see, it's different. So they had that hedge of protection. And that's exactly how that unfolded. So I'm kind of like, I'm kind of in the middle, but at the same time, I also don't want Republicans to do anything that drags baggage, old baggage, onto this ticket. And that includes the jettisoning of anybody from the previous, you know, the previous administration who might be a drag on it for those independents and moderates that we need. This is how, by the way, you win over independents and moderates without compromising your positions, is you do everything else possible to seem above board and transparent. And I've never met Manafort. I wouldn't have an opinion on him if I fell over him in my living room, except to ask, what the hell is he doing there? I'm very just straight no chaser about this. I just want to know why anybody's even considering this. Why? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, is there some kind of benefit that's lost by the American people with his absence in the administration? I mean, I think that's a fair question to ask. He was the Trump campaign chairman in 2016. He left in August, and that was because people were saying, oh, he's got ties to Viktor Yanukovych. And he was the Russian-backed Ukraine. He was the stooge for Russia. And they're like, oh, that's Trump's pro-Russia vulnerabilities, et cetera, et cetera. I just don't think I think he's baggage that's not needed on the campaign. Bottom line. I don't think that they need to be flirting with that idea, particularly since we've got to see how the head up at the RNC does. Now, as you know, his daughter-in-law, Lara Trump, is now co-chair of the RNC. And I said in the beginning, I think it's a bad idea. Not because I dislike her. I think she's a hard worker. I mean, anybody who sits here and runs marathons like she does, you have to have a certain level of discipline. But it's the optics that count. And when you have sound bites of, well, we're going to use this to pay his legal bills and all this, she's had to come out and spend like her earlier press hits, her first press hits as co-chair of the RNC, pushing back against all of this. That being said, if they make good decisions and they run the organization neater than it has been, they have it, they hold it more accountable than it's been held, they make good decisions and they don't forget about those just as valuable down ticket races, then I'm going to be fine with it. You know, optics aside, I'll be fine with it. But the proof is in the pudding, as is said. Don't take that literally, though, press, because, you know, we're not literally hiding evidence in the pudding. We know how our press is like Amelia Bedelia and takes everything absolutely literally. So I'm curious to see how that works. But I don't think that Republicans need to be constructing hurdles for themselves going into November. I don't think that they need to be doing that at all. It's so easy to get Biden on so many of these things, whether it's Michigan, whether it's with automobile industry. That's one thing that they're going to be fighting over. Now, Biden's going to be in Vegas today. Let me pull this up. Sorry to all of our Vegas listeners. He's going to be there. He's coming for you. He's going to get you. Traffic is going to be a horrible nightmare. Our president of the listeners in Vegas, he is the valedictorian and president. He's senator president of the listeners in Vegas of the Dana Show. Larry, listener Larry from Vegas, Larry. He sounds so excited on about the visit on social media. I think he's a good measure. I'm getting major Eeyore vibes out of this, like way more aggressive though. But Biden is expected to be in Vegas. He's going to Reno for a campaign event, and then he's going to head to Vegas to give a speech. Now, Nevada could be part of his strategy overall to go. He's gonna have to take a little bit of an unconventional approach and go for some of the states that Democrats normally haven't played really hard for just because of the Rust Belt. This is why Michigan keeps popping up, right? This is why Big Gretch is like a big player in this, which, by the way, I'm just saying, I know he would get all hell for it because you got to check all the identity politic boxes. Biden would be in a much stronger position if he kicked Kamala to the curb, or maybe put her in charge of something else and had Big Gretch as his VP, because you would kind of lock up a state that's needed. Now they're competing and they're courting the auto manufacturers and line workers and all of this. That's what they're doing, and it's going to be a rap battle. But he's got to take a little bit more of an unconventional approach this time around. I think that whether or not his team decides that's good for him to do, ultimately it's the candidate that has to deliver. You can send him to Nevada. You can have him go to Michigan. You can have him do all of these things. But it's the candidate that has to deliver. And in Georgia, I was reading this piece this morning from the Financial Times. Georgia is turning into a battleground state. The Democrats are also looking at this as part of their strategy, a new strategy for them to really play for Georgia as well. I'm telling you, we're going to continue. We're going to come back to this. We're also going to touch on a few other things as well, not just related to 2024, but also corporate greed. Joe Biden's he's throwing everything out there, absolutely everything out there. We're going to get into all of that. We're going to get into some of the culture stuff. We've got also stuff related to immigration and the states, the border states fighting this. Later on, coming up in our second hour, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is going to join us because you have all these Haitian Haitian, I don't want to say refugees, maybe some of them are, but, you know, people trying to enter Florida illegally. And I would imagine that it's a lot tougher. I just think if you're not landlocked, or maybe there's a, maybe does the water, does the, you know, maritime law make for certain, make certain things easier? But we're going to talk to Governor DeSantis about this, what he's doing, because I've got story after story involving people who entered illegally from Haiti and then committing crimes. We're going to talk about this coming up. Partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at American Financing. Stop putting stuff on your credit card. Stop it. I get it that things are super expensive. Believe me, I get it. And by the time you fill up your car and buy groceries, I mean, you have nothing left. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that you need to add to your credit card debt, particularly when credit card rates are so high. The interest rates are so high. You don't want to get trapped in that. If you're a homeowner, American Financing can help you. Interest rates have dropped into the 5% range. So the process with American Financing, they're salary-based, by the way. So they're not, they don't get commissions on shoving people into stuff that doesn't work for them. The process at American Financing starts with a free mortgage review. You could start today. You might even be able to delay two mortgage payments and close in as fast as 10 days. They're saving their customers about $850 a month. So it's like a $10,000 a year raise without the extra hours. And they can offer every type of loan in the industry as well. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And they have evening and weekend hours as well. They can meet your schedule. They understand that you work and you got to take care of your family. No pressure. Call 866-574-2500. That's 866-574-2500. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net and get started today.
NMLS 182334. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the five start at 6.6% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 866-574-2500 for details about credit costs and terms.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States. Like sands through the hourglass.
So there's not a damn thing a man can do that a woman can't do. All kidding aside, there's not a damn thing a man can do that a woman can't do. To state the obvious.
Well, that's nuts. There is one thing that a man can do that a woman can't do. I'm not going to say it the way I said it on break, Kane.
Thank you.
A woman can't have a male copulatory organ.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. True. An MCO. They can't, they don't have any of those. Just saying. I mean, we can't pee as eloquently standing up. You know, there's certain things that we can't do, right? Just saying. I mean, I could go on. I mean, it's just the, that's just the shallow end of the pool stuff right there. But I mean, we could, you know, we could go deeper. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lashier with you. That was the president. Man, I think that his strongest message, Kane, is when Biden goes out there to talk to women about women's issues. I want to see more of that. Get him out there more. They're trying to get him out less.
Yeah.
They don't. They. This is going to be because he's speaking. What time is he speaking? Like in a half hour or so?
I think so.
Yeah. We'll watch for the top moments of his remarks. Sure, it's going to be wonderful. Now, one of the other things that we're watching is the what's happening at the border. So the Supreme Court, Justice Alito, extended a stay of a Texas immigration law So I'm this is wild. This was yesterday. He issued an order. It was a stay that was issued by SCOTUS on March 4th, and it's preventing SB4, which allows law enforcement to detain and arrest people who entered the country illegally. And it was supposed to already be in effect, but the legal battles, it extended it, and now it's, you know, that's the way it is. So they're saying that it's a temporary stay of the Fifth Circuit's ruling, which has been twice extended. So now it's on hold. They have to go through all the appellate courts. And that's, so if the federal government doesn't want to follow the law, why should I have to follow a law? Can I pick and choose which law I don't want to follow? Because that should scare you guys. I'm not even joking. Like, be terrified. Because I'm telling you what, for the people who are not led by faith and a higher being and a higher purpose, the law is the only thing protecting you from them. Right. And the really efficacy of the law is its equal application. Part of it comes, a huge chunk of it, maybe 90%, the rest is just sound law, comes from equal application of the law. If it's equally applied and everyone is truly equal before the law and underneath it when it's broken, then that's really demonstrating the strength of the law, is it not? I mean, at least, you know, with perception. But if the federal government's picking and choosing what it wants to follow, then I got a couple laws I don't want to follow, Kane.
Oh, yeah. I got a few.
I mean, I've got like one that I would love to not follow. It's just a little thing, you know.
Is it purgy?
Huh?
Is it purgy?
Might be.
Okay.
Might be. Just saying, you know. But, yeah, if that's how the federal government wants to operate, we're going to talk about this coming up, because it's not just Texas dealing with this and Arizona and California. I mean, obviously, Florida is really, it's a border state if you think about it. But because, you know, oh, well, it's, you know, surrounded by water. Yeah, but have you seen what they're dealing with the Haitian immigrants coming over trying to enter illegally? Yeah, we're going to talk to Governor Ron DeSantis about that coming up. You don't want to miss a whole other hour on the way. Stick with us. Partners over at Patriot Mobile. Look, if you want to stay with your old commie cell phone service and then, you know, wax patriotic about the problems of America, then by all means, go do that. But just know that every dollar that you spend with whatever commie service you have it's actually going towards fighting you and fighting your vote, canceling your vote at the ballot box. Patriot Mobile is not like that. First off, it's the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And it has been for over a decade now. This is my actual, literal, personal cell phone service. It's the service of my family as well. And they have dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service without funding the left. And you're employing and creating more U.S.-based jobs. You're employing Americans. Their whole team is 100% U.S.-based. Keep your phone, keep your number, or you can upgrade. Get something entirely new. Change your number. Change your phone. The choice is yours. Get free activation using code Dana. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
So, Michael, let's take Trump at his word for a moment and say he was talking about the automotive industry. Let's say he was talking about economics. But isn't what he proposes, the tariffs and the like, wouldn't that be devastating too?
Of course it would, Jonathan, and that's part of what I went into in the column that I wrote about this week. Okay, take him at his word. What's an economic bloodbath? An economic bloodbath comes from a 100% tariff on Chinese imports, to which we know China is only going to retaliate, and it's going to hurt American consumers terribly, and it's going to hurt American workers.
Well, the economic bloodbath is having China dominate everything. You're not going to have American workers. And that's kind of what they seem to miss. I love how they start. That was MSNBC. And I love how they start this with, well, you know, just taking Trump at his word, you know, because we all know he was talking about murdering everyone. It's not at all what he was saying. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash here with you. And the left and policy and business, etc., I mean, the idea, I mean, the debate on tariffs, and this is what they're repositioning this to. And I don't even know if that's something that Trump would actually, A, be able to do, or B, would even be advised to do fully. Because I know that, let me pull this piece up, because this comes from Financial Times. And this was a piece that gets into China circumventing U.S. tariffs because they're shipping more goods via Mexico. That's something that they've been doing for quite some time. There's going to be it can't just. I think this just is a very specious debate, and it's weird that that's. Well, you know, he really wants to murder everyone, but you know, let's go ahead and let's just say that this is how it's going to. This is how it's going to go. Let's just say. Now, when it concerns tariffs in China, the tariffs that really the ones that the tariffs that were implemented during the Trump administration, Biden's kept those. That's that was the financial. That's the this is the Financial Times article that I'm. It's from Container Trades Statistics, and it looks at the big containers that they ship from China to Mexico, and they looked at the first three quarters of 23. That's the latest data that's available, and they show that there's an increase. And that the increase is because Mexico has overtaken China as the biggest exporter of goods to the U.S. last year. So they're disguising what China's doing is they're, instead of just shipping direct to the United States, they'll just go through a third party and then ship there. And that's how they get around this stuff. But the Biden administration, the reason they're still doing it is because the Biden administration kept it. Notice how none of the people that were sitting at the desk knew anything about this to ask this guy or even do a follow-up, because that's the state of journalism. People used to be well-read and intelligent. You don't have to be an expert in everything, but you should want a Renaissance type of curiosity, right? To where you want to learn something about everything so that when you sit down and you talk to like this, you know, economic, so-called economic expert, who's apparently zealotry for partisanship exceeds his ability to actually share expertise or maybe even be an expert in his field, his chosen field. But the questions that you see these people ask now are miles wide and inches deep. No one followed up and said, well, if they're so bad, why did the Biden administration retain the tariffs that had been implemented during the previous Trump administration? Clearly, they found that helpful. Can you explain maybe why that's changed now or what you would change? Or if you think that that's something that Democrats are going to continue to commit to if they win in November, that would have been a follow up. But these they sat there like bumps on a log. They have no idea what to ask because they're morons. None of the there's a financial illiteracy. There's just a basic educational illiteracy with 99% of the people in the press. And there's this hatred towards autodidactism. Oh, well, you didn't go to an Ivy League university and study economics, then you aren't qualified to ask questions. Listen up, Jack, as a taxpaying American citizen who loves learning about policy and everything that affects my pocketbook, I damn well will become an expert in something, particularly as it affects me. And I will ask questions about it. But that's how they themselves aren't smart enough to cast the aspersions on your character that they do. I mean, I watched that full thing. There was like a 15-minute video. And I watched the full thing and I'm waiting. Actually, I'm exaggerating. It was maybe like 10. But I'm waiting and watching it. There, none of them knew anything what this guy was talking about. And he knew it and he reveled in it. He's like, yes, I'm just going to keep talking, you know, blah, 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 30,000 foot view, meat and potatoes, platitude. Oh, that's great. Platitude question, platitude answer. Ooh, platitude. Yes, meat and potatoes. That was the interview. That's the interview. So, do you see, though, how this is also empowering Mexico? With China using Mexico as a third party, Mexico is a very, it's becoming a very well-heeled middleman, right? Enjoying its position. I'll make sure you have this piece that I read. There's actually a couple of things here that I'm going to make sure for you subscribers to Chapter and Verse, the newsletter for the show that you have. It's one of those articles that I do want you to read because it's an easy, quick read. It'll take you like 3 minutes. But I think you're going to need to know this, especially as the debate moves more and more towards this, because this is not a ground that Democrats can really play on. And I hope that Republicans, particularly with this messaging, and this is one of the things that Trump is successful on. And I think that he needs to go where his strengths are. And I think he needs to keep messaging about this because enough people are still mad at China that this, I think, will play really, really well. And also because you can tie in manufacturing, export, all of this, trade jobs, that's really going to play well in the with Rust Belt states. This is where Republicans need to just hammer. They need to hammer this. Democrats are deer in the headlights whenever they have to be called to account for policies or any kind of... That's why they didn't change a lot of stuff. Notice that? All the executive orders were about immigration. They didn't do a damn thing with the economic policy with regards to tariffs in China. They didn't do anything with... They left it. That's very telling, is it not? I think so. So this... I really do think... Because he's not going to talk about this in Vegas. They're going to talk about... I told you the ads that they're taking out are... all about racial plays for minority voters. That's all you're going to hear about. Abortions and to racisms, blah, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That's all you're going to hear about. That's it. Not going to hear anything else. This is one of the reasons why I think a lot of governors have been empowered to take these very grand economic steps within their own states. We've got Governor Ron DeSantis on coming up about immigration and all of that, because this all ties into it. Everything ties into it. I mean, think about the cartel involvement in Mexican government. And now you're having Mexico as the go-between for China and the United States. And Mexico already gets so much of their fentanyl components from China already. I'm telling you, that's big business for them. Kane, why didn't we think of this?
I know.
Dang it.
It's different, though.
I mean, these are the world's two largest economies, and you're right in the middle. U.S. imports from China fell by 25%, and then Beijing fixated on Mexico, Financial Times notes. So it all went through there, and then it comes up. Just saying, just saying. Now, a few other things I want to make sure that we hit on. I really wasn't going to talk about this. Now I'm going to. The Don Lemon interview, the Elon Musk thing. And I'm only bringing it up because I watched a video this morning where Elon Musk makes meme-worthy faces as he tries to wrap his head around the idea that Don Lemon doesn't understand the concept of hypotheticals. So if you didn't know, and this is just very amusing. So Don Lemon gets axed. Well, he ended up getting a payday. How much did he get from CNN? He got a nice payday. A few million. 17 million?
I don't know.
No, cut seven. We have some of it.
Yeah, he got a nice payday. So let me set it up and then we're going to play this. So he then makes a deal with X to where he has a new program and X is going to stream his show or carry his show exclusively. So it's not going to be on any other platform. And then I guess for one of his first interviews, Don Lemon decides to interview Elon Musk, the guy employing him, which is something you never really do if it's not going to be softball particularly. And it went horribly because Don Lemon, I guess, decided, okay, well, we've signed a contract, so I'm protected. You can't keep or fire me. You got to keep me, and I can just abuse you as much as I want. Well, he found out the hard way that Elon Musk doesn't care about any of that stuff and doesn't operate by societal demands. And so he fired him. And Don Lemon's been bitching and moaning this entire time. Audio Soundbite 7 gives you some insight. It was, because Musk got mad, and you could tell he was annoyed. And he was really trying to, you know, keep a hold of. I'd have been mad. I'd have yelled at him. But listen, this is Audio Soundbite 7.
When the census is done, the census is based on all people in an area, whether they are citizens or not.
To Don Lemon.
So if there are a concentration of people who came here illegally in a particular state or in a particular state, that state will actually then get an increased number of House seats. So the House seat apportionment is proportionate to the number of people, not the number of citizens. So the illegals overwhelmingly go to places like California, New York, if you just look at the math, if you look at the apportionment with and without illegals, I believe California would lose. I believe the blue state, there would be a net loss of blue states of approximately 20 seats in the House. This also applies to the Electoral College. So you say, this also applies to electing the president, because the electoral votes are also done by apportionment the same way that House seats are done.
Don Lemon Don Lemon is sitting there. He's not listening and absorbing this information. He's waiting to talk. There's a big difference. And you can tell I hate that. But did you hear what he was asking for when he was... I mean, you know, I you miss all the shots that you don't take, I guess. But he asked for in his contract, and all of this came out, he wanted a Cybertruck, right? He wanted, what is it, $25 million, a Cybertruck, and however many shares of X, or shares, a number of shares in X. Isn't that what he wanted? Dude straight up asked for a Cybertruck. I mean, he asked for that child's drawing. I'm kidding. So he, you know, he tried. Can you imagine that? Is he worth all that? Millions of dollars, a Cybertruck and shares in X? Are you serious?
No.
Look, I will say, I give him credit for asking what he thinks he's worth. Now, notice I said what he thinks he's worth. Because he might value himself a little bit more than some other people would value him. But, you know, you get out there and you ask for what you think you're worth. This is why I always get so mad with these Hollywood starlets who raise a hell because the much more famous box office draw dude name, their name is that gets top billing or paid more. And I'm like, okay, well, then if you can be as much of a box office draw as this guy, you can get paid the same. And also, it's not this guy's fault that your agent sucks, right? I have an agent. And I mean, I've gone through this for years. You do not ever be afraid to ask what you think you're worth. I will literally ask you. I will drag it. I will ask you. I will tell you what I think I'm worth. And I will say, this is what you got to meet right here. It's a fun process. Everyone loves me, including my lawyer. They all love me. This is the only time where I'm like super insufferable. But I always get mad at these starlets and people who don't ask for what they think they're worth. At least he did, Kane. He's like, you know, I'm worth a Cybertruck and millions of dollars and shares in X. I'll give that much credit and then I'll stop there. We have headlines on the way. You don't want to miss as we roll.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, this headline is stupid. Newsweek. Popular intermittent fasting diet is linked to cardiovascular death risk.
It's not the vax, guys.
It's not the vax.
No.
They say those who only ate with it, I do this. So I don't eat after 8 o'clock and I don't eat before typically 11 every single day, like religiously. And they say that people who only eat within 8 hours of the day and follow a time restricted schedule were 91% more likely to die, not from the vax, but the cardiovascular disease that just like all of a sudden showed up apparently in this brand new study that the American Heart Association's Epidemiology and Prevention Lifestyle and Cardiometabolic Scientific Sessions 2024 in Chicago reported on between March 18th and the 21st. And they say the finding is expected because previously intermittent fasting was found to improve blood pressure, glucose and cholesterol levels, etc. Yeah, I think that they say that, you know, it's all of a sudden we got cardiovascular disease out there. It's not the vax, though. Not the vax. And I think that this is super sketch. Sorry, it is. Fisker is EV startup Fisker is going to raise up to $150 million, but they've paused production, according to Yahoo Finance. They said that they are selling convertible notes as the startup tries to navigate a cash crunch and a weak demand for its cars, because nobody wants an EV. I'm just saying. And Fisker's not, isn't that a bougier EV brand? Fisker's like pretty bouge, isn't it? Yeah. Let's see. A hungry bear woke up from hibernation and a California mountain village is now bracing for invasion because it's not and bear, it's bears. Bears everywhere. All the bears are waking up. They have a sense of smell 100 times keener than that of humans. That's terrifying. And so now they are looking for your leftover pizza in your fridge. They're coming in your house, eating up all your chips. Be aware. Coming up, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on all of the illegal Haitian immigrants trying to enter into the U.S. via Florida by boat. We're going to talk about that as before. So much. Stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Dana Show. You can listen coast to coast. A little LL Cool J there. Got to play a little LL Cool J coming back in. You can listen coast to coast all across the nation. You can stream the radio program. You can find us on X. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook as well. Always good discussion. And of course, Channel 347 DirecTV. So we've been watching this I've been following this for quite some time. I told you on spring break, I was in Turks and Caicos, was talking to all the locals there. They were livid over what was happening with Haiti and saying that they have been overrun, that the illegal immigrants coming in from Haiti are now exceeding the native population of just that island. And that's just one small island in the Caribbean. Other islands are being affected. And now the United States, we've seen a number of Haitian immigrants entering illegally from the southern border. And now they're looking at Florida. We were getting headlines about boats coming in to Florida, going into through the Keys from Haiti. And of course, then Florida Governor Ron DeSantis holds a press conference saying that's not going to happen. They're going to repel them. He joins us via Skype right now. Governor Ron DeSantis, we so appreciate you joining us, giving us some of your time. I grew up seeing boats coming in from Cuba, you know, et cetera. This, though, everyone's being warned that this is something entirely different because of the complete breakdown of the government in Haiti. And you're sending law enforcement. You've sent officials down to the Keys to help. Tell us what you're expecting and what you've done so far.
Well, first, it's just important to point out this is the job of the federal government. And the Coast Guard actually does a good job, but they are way undermanned. Biden is not devoting enough resources. And so we've seen issues with this now going on for quite some time. So January of 2023, over a year ago, I did an executive order and we plussed up a lot of people to fill in the gaps. Since January of 2023, the state of Florida has interdicted 660 vessels and repelled over 13,000 illegal aliens. And that's just the state of Florida's vessels. The Coast Guard has been doing it as well. And so when the unrest in Haiti has gotten even worse, I did additional resources. So this is plussing up what we've already been doing, just basically telling, and it's important that when you show people that they will be interdicted and returned, the incentive for them to try the journey goes down dramatically, because this is not an easy trek on a vessel from Haiti all the way through. It's a lot. The Cuba trip isn't easy either, but that's 90 miles to the Keys. Haiti's a little more difficult. So I think we've put in place enough vessels to whatever gets through the Coast Guard we can do. Now, it's important legally, if you catch illegal aliens on the seas, sending them back is easy. Once they get into our country, then the federal government will give them a lot of, you know, rights. So, for example, they come across the southern border. I've had people down there from Florida that will intercept. The minute you turn them over to the Border Patrol, Biden just basically releases them into the interior of our country. That is not the way it works on the sea. So it's very important to interdict those vessels before they make landfall. And that's Florida or anywhere else. Look, Dana, as I got to defend my state, I've got enough issues just dealing with people fleeing from blue states moving into Florida. I mean, I'm building more. We're building housing. We've got all this stuff. I can't be having people coming illegally from Haiti into Florida. And we announced last week that our Florida Fish and Wildlife actually recently intercepted a boat with 25 Haitians illegally trying to come to Florida. They had drugs and guns on their vessel.
And night vision.
Night vision. That's not exactly what you want to be happening in your state. So we're working hard. We've devoted an enormous amount of resources. And this is not our core task, because the sea interdiction is really the federal government. But I'm not just going to sit there and complain. If there's a gap to be filled, we're doing it. So we've been doing this for quite some time. The last few weeks now is at the apex of the amount of resources we've done. But we think it's important.
It is incredibly important. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is joining us via Skype. And I'm glad you mentioned, too, the sort of legal difference there, because there's been a lot of discussion about this on social media. And I like to watch legal Twitter fight about it. But what you mentioned was incredibly important. Immediately meeting someone in the waters as opposed to once they make land. Because if you, as you were saying, you can interdict them in open water, but so as to the way I understand it, if they make land, then are you kind of, your hands are sort of tied like other border states that are landlocked by the federal government that won't do their job?
Well, here's the thing. I would be willing to send people, additional people to Texas to help. If they come over the border, I think the state should be able to just put them back over the border to Mexico. The problem when you get to a situation like Florida is if they have people in our state and we wanted to fly them, say, back to Haiti, You have to get clearance to be able to do that. If you wanted to fly somebody to a South American country, wherever they're from, it becomes a little bit more difficult because the federal government's going to tell the host countries not to accept our planes. So we've gone through these iterations. What could we do as states? I definitely think we can help put them back over the border if they come across in Texas or Arizona. And so I'd be willing to help do that. I think that the states really have no other choice to do that at that point. It's a little bit different for a maritime state like us. That's why we really have to get them before they reach the shores. And that's why we're working so hard to do that.
Yeah.
Although I will say this, we do have our transport program also that's going to be operational. So Haitians land in the Florida Keys, their next stop very well may be Martha's Vineyard.
I was just going to ask you about that, Governor. If you have any more excursions planned from the great state of Florida up to maybe Martha's Vineyard or maybe Maryland or maybe any of these other sanctuary cities or states that love to practice the virtue signaling of sanctuary, but they want Florida and Texas and everybody else to pay for it.
Well, hopefully it doesn't come to that, but I think that we're going to be ready. I also was proud just last week I signed some additional legislation to build off the success we've already had with really making Florida now the number one state combating illegal immigration. When I became governor, Dana, sanctuary cities weren't even banned in Florida. We banned sanctuary cities. We did mandatory e-verify. We've got strong penalties for smuggling illegal aliens. And now what we did was we upped penalties. If you've previously been deported and you commit an offense in Florida, you're getting the book thrown at you. We also said people driving without a license. We're getting very serious about that. We don't issue driver's licenses to illegal aliens in Florida. We don't recognize out-of-state licenses that have been issued to illegal aliens. But we got to make sure that if they're coming to Florida, that's not a good place to be driving without a license. So we did that, which I think is very significant. And then finally, when we said no ID, some of the local governments a couple years ago were talking about issuing their own IDs to illegals, not driver's license, but IDs. Some NGOs were trying to do it. So we did legislation a couple years ago, said no. But what we've also now done is said, OK, you can't issue that in Florida. But if someone gets an NGO to issue them an ID in California or anything, you can't accept it either. So we've done, I think, a lot, more than any other state, to say, okay, if you're coming across the border illegally, that's wrong. Florida should not be a destination you're looking to because you don't have the benefits here. We're not rolling out the red carpet. To the contrary, you're much better off going to California or in Illinois.
Yeah, that's a great point. Talking with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, how many do you think since, and I'm going to move on because I want to ask you about all of the, I think that the parental rights bill has been a huge success considering how much the press has gone after it. But one last quick question on this. How many additional Haitian illegal aliens coming in just recently? Do you think that's increased by a lot? I keep reading conflicting reports on that, and I was just kind of curious.
Yeah, so it's interesting. We have not actually seen a big uptick since all this started.
Interesting.
In Haiti. Okay. And I think the reason for that, Dana, is the best way to get into the United States from Haiti now is, as you mentioned earlier, through the southern border. If they can just get to Mexico, they know they're going to get in scot-free. If they got to get in a rickety vessel and try to travel all the way through the Florida Straits, that's a tough thing. That's very hazardous. It's more hazardous than coming across the border. So I think that's part of the reason we haven't seen. But then I also think because of the resources that we've dedicated, I do think the word on the street is out that you're likely going to get interdicted. So it's not really worth the risk to do. So we have not seen a huge increase or really much of an increase, if any. But if we do, we have more resources deployed than we've ever had in the history of Florida.
And what you were telling me too, Governor, about illegal aliens and the possession of driver's licenses, which, you know, Florida immediately nixed. And I thought it was interesting, especially considering U.S. District Court Judge Sharon Coleman, Northern District of Illinois. Basically, they upheld undocumented, or that's what they said, undocumented immigrants. Illegal aliens have the right to own guns. It was this firearm possession charge against one illegal alien who had a handgun in Chicago. Chicago, this case now finally coming to bear. So in Illinois, sanctuary states like Illinois, they're giving people who are here illegally the right to have a firearm. And then you have those, you have, I mean, just the story you were saying about the ones that you did in, that Florida Fish and Wildlife interdicted, they had guns and drugs and night vision. Florida's doing it very differently than these sanctuary states.
Well, just think, the sanctuary states are also some of the most hostile states to law-abiding citizens owning and possessing firearms. So we're in a situation in this country that the political left, if you want to go to an airport, you have to show picture ID. They'll do basically an anal search of you just to get on the plane. Meanwhile, if you're here illegally, no ID. They just give you a sheet of paper. You just go do whatever you want. And then the flip side is, if you wanted to conceal carry and say Chicago is a law-abiding citizen, they'd want to throw you in jail for that. But somehow a liberal judge is saying that illegal aliens somehow have to do this. They've just turned the world upside down in this country. And I think Americans are sick of being second class. It's bad enough to allow illegal immigration, but then to treat American citizens worse than you treat illegal aliens, it's just absurd.
I wanted to ask you one last thing. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis via Skype with us. The parental rights and education bill. I'm still amazed at the way that this is being, well, not amazed, I shouldn't be, misrepresented by the press. Because I've seen people now say, oh, well, we can say gay now. We can say, which you've all, I went to Florida and I yelled gay in the parking lot at the airport and nobody arrested me. So, I mean, it was okay. But this is hailed as such a success. I know activists were looking to block it. It was settled with the state last week. The legislation's still fully intact. That's a huge win for Florida and for your administration, Governor. And I just wanted to get your final thoughts on that.
No, absolutely. Look, we want our schools to educate, not indoctrinate. It's wrong to be jamming in things like transgenderism and gender ideology into our schools. It's just not appropriate. And we took that position. We had to defeat opposition from the 800-pound gorilla in Florida politics, Disney, which we did. And oh, by the way, Disney's suit against us has also been dismissed in the trial court level. And then you had last week where the court said, the law is fully in effect. Some of the media were trying to spin that as somehow positive for them because they said, Florida has admitted that the word is not banned, but that was never it. So literally you had a false narrative that was created from the beginning. And then you have activists that are suing not on what the law actually says, but on the false narrative that was propagated by the media. The law's fully upheld. And basically the state has said, yeah, that's all a false narrative. That's not a victory for these activists. They were basically perpetuating a lie. So what we did respects the rights of parents. It's clearly appropriate to not have that stuff jammed into the curriculum. And we're better off as a result of that. I can tell you, Dana, Florida is still leading the nation in migration. And part of it, yes, we had a big surge because of the COVID freedom versus some other states. Yes. Law and order state, very important. But parents in some of these deep blue states, they say you send their kids to school and it's pure indoctrination and they don't want that. So they know if they go to Florida, they've got a state government, certainly me as governor, but also our legislature that's fighting for them and for their kids. And I would point out, because I think this does tie into the indoctrination issue, we did paycheck protection for teacher union dues. So right now, Miami-Dade Teacher Union, third largest teacher union in the country, they have not gotten enough members to sign up. So they're on the brink of decertification. And the reason is because we empowered the rank and file to say, wait a minute, this union is pursuing a political agenda. They were the ones that fought me when I had schools open during COVID. They wanted it closed. They were doing protests, having coffins in front of the school saying all the kids were going to die. It was totally absurd. That was almost 4 years ago that this was going on. They're the ones that want to hijack our schools to create a partisan political agenda. So parents' rights has been important, but I'd say also we're the only state that has actually beaten the teachers' unions all across the board. And that's what you're going to have to do. If you want to save the country, you can't let the left simply take over every institution in American life. And so it's been long thought that the left just has K-12. They can just do what they want with it. Not in Florida. We don't think the schools belong to the left at all. We're fighting back.
And it's and the proof is in the pudding there. America's governor, Ron DeSantis. I know so many people that even from Texas that have actually moved to Florida because they like the receipts and they like the wins. Beaten teachers unions, beaten Disney, beaten woke culture, beaten the federal government on illegal immigration, the whole nine yards. Governor DeSantis, always a pleasure. Thank you for your fight, not just for leading Florida, but providing a blueprint for the rest of the country. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Of course.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So first up here, this a Florida man pretended to be a Disney World staffer to steal a famous character. And of course, everything just froze up because everything sucks. Why would you want to? I would think that, you know, Disney would probably at this point, because they're so devalued, would give it away for free. So if I can get this thing pulled up, I'll get it to you. In the meantime, though, a Florida woman was accused of kicking an ER nurse in the stomach and was arrested for a DUI, according to WFLA. That's, you can't be doing that kind of stuff. The woman was super drunk. A Florida Highway Patrol trooper responded to a crash on Sunset Point Boulevard after a woman collided with a tree. 47-year-old Katrina McGrade, she had empty alcoholic drinks in the driver's side door pocket of her Lexus. And that's not allowable at all. Not allowable. She was arrested, taken to Sumter County Jail. Third hour on the way. Stick with us.
My Republican friends tell me we're spending a lot of money. It's saving billions of dollars. Saving billions of dollars. We're actually cutting the deficit, too.
Wait, what is... What? What does he think he's cutting the deficit? Why is he whispering? It's so weird. Can that stop? He needs to quit that. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. Listen coast to coast. Join the conversation over at YouTube, channel 347 DirecTV as well. That's the video component of the radio program. And you can find us also Facebook, YouTube. Facebook and Substack. Chapter and verse. Make sure you subscribe. Lots of good stuff that comes out. In fact, Lorraine has an epic piece coming out about Gamergate 2, which we've been discussing. And don't... I keep telling folks, and I've heard from some of you who say, okay, maybe I don't play games, but I actually see the door that this opens and I understand it. It's about the last place where you can escape from politics, and it unites everybody. It is an asset, and that's why the left wants to ruin it. We'll revisit it. But so far as the president, isn't he supposed to be speaking in Vegas here shortly?
Yeah.
Do we know what he's talking on? They actually never said. I think it's just a campaign thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a campaign thing. I think it's Latino voters.
Oh, so this is not outreach. So they're releasing two ads. He and Kamala Harris, their first TV buys, their ad buys. They are releasing two ads that are basically vote Democrat. If you're black, vote Democrat. And then now they're going to go after the Hispanics. So, Kane, half of you better listen to this.
That's right.
You know, the other half is just the devil. But, you know, half of you better listen to this.
Devil adjacent.
Devil adjacent. You're just white. You're just white. But I'm curious as to how that will work, because it's not... Democrats are hemorrhaging minority voters. Ultimately, the kicker is that minority voters, I think, feel patronized, insultingly so, by all of the identity politic appeals. But that's exacerbated by the economic factor. When people realize they're doing worse now than they were previously, it makes you take a second look at all the other nonsense that you're hearing. And that's what's happening. That's really what's kickstarting a lot of this epic fall of favorability that Democrats previously had with minority voters. So he's going to play up all the identity politics stuff. He's also been talking about corporate greed. We're going to use the commie talking points. He's going to really push that. I wanted to share this. This was the Washington Times, NBC News poll last month. Trump is outperforming Biden where it concerns which candidate would better handle the economy. And I think this was, I don't think this was likely voters. I think it was just registered voters. So They have to refine their messaging on that. And you're not going to be able to do that with just corporate greed. They don't want to take responsibility for the consequence of their policies. So instead, they'll just say, well, it's this corporation that did it to you. You know, it's big grocery. That's what it is. It's big grocery. Big grocery jacking up those prices. If that were true, then people would be flocking to the more affordable grocery stores. But every grocery store has had to increase price because that's not where the price increases are coming from. The price increases are coming from the cost of fuel, the cost of doing business, the cost of everything else. That's where all of this is coming from. But see, Biden and company don't get it. Well, they do. They just don't care. They just don't feel like there should be any consequences for their bad economic policy. And we have now 2 years in a row, or sorry, 2 months in a row, inflation's coming in hotter than was ever to be expected. I love how they said, this was an economics professor at Texas Tech, and he said, well, the last 2 months uptick has come at a bit of a surprise. To whom? How are you an economics professor? And you're like, well, I'm shocked. The inflation's still coming in hot. I am surprised. What? How? How are you surprised? And so, because he's desperate for some kind of distraction to avoid accountability, he's like, well, it's shrinkflation. Look, the candy bars have gotten smaller. Everything's smaller because they want more money. Well, are you going to tell them why they had to shrink things? The cost of ingredients, the cost of materials to package, the cost of packaging, the cost of production. What? Why is all of that increasing? Oh, because they just want to make more money. Do you realize how stupid that sounds? That sounds so dumb. You create economic policy that just jacks up government spending, driving down the value of the dollar. You are the excessive spending, excessive. And now you want to try to offset that by raising taxes because you won't cut spending. So you're going to try to raise taxes. And then you have the audacity when everyone else responds, because it affects not just average everyday individuals, but also businesses. And it affects farmers and it affects their crop. And it affects, you know, the people who drive the trucks to distribute the crop because the fuel is made more expensive by your policies. So this all affects every aspect. And then his response is, well, it's not my policies. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, big grocery decided they're going to jack up prices. Shrink your candy bars. Big grocery, big cookie, big cereal. Everything's big. He said last month during State of the Union, quote, too many corporations raise their prices to pad their profits. Oh, my gosh. He sounds like, you know what he sounds like? He sounds like an eighth grader who just had a political awakening and they sound stupid left. That's what it sounds like. Everybody, you all know those people. You get the people who are newly awakened to stuff and they do stuff like this. Well, it's not because of, you know, it's not because I won't stop spending and have spent more. And it's not because I won't stop raising taxes. It's because big grocery. That sounds so dumb. That is the dumb. And who believes this? That is the dumbest damn thing I've ever heard. It actually kills my brain cells to try to make sense of it. And that's without the benefit of, alcohol. Good night. Well, you know, I regret saying it was transitory, Janet Yellen with inflation. We just played that last week, did we not? That was last week. And then I see all these billionaires sell, what are they selling all their shares? They're it's making me nervous, Kane. I mean,
there's an incoming crash.
Like, by how bad?
They've been delaying this. Yeah, and
yeah, they're going to delay it until, like, say Biden loses, and then they're going to be like, look what Trump did.
Yeah, they'll start letting it decay right after November 5th if they lose.
So you're saying I should put my money in my mattresses now?
Yeah, or buy precious metals.
Like from Gold Co.
Like exactly.
Make sure you use code Dana. Sidebar. When I was young, my step-grandmother, when she passed, I've noticed that there's this, with older people especially, like the greatest generation, they kept everything. Like my grandmother would reuse foil. My step-grandmother, my stepdad's mom, she would, you know, the nesting mixing bowls, she would hide things in them. She would have like important documents and then a bowl and then like a tchotchke in a bowl.
Really?
Or so, yes, it was the weirdest thing. So when she passed and they all had to clear out her, it was a small, modest apartment. And it just looked like she kept her big furniture from her big wedding or her big bedroom set from when she was married. But everything else was pretty modest. And, you know, she didn't have a whole heck of a lot at first glance. Then when they started going through her stuff, I'm going to tell you, those old folks, if you want something hidden, give it to an old folk. They will hide it. And they will hide it so damn well, they won't even remember where it is. It is so good. I mean, she had stuff in places I never would have thought to put things. She would tape things to the bottom of stuff. And it would be in cab, and you would open a cab, and it would be nice and neat. You never knew. You didn't know. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. And they were going through all her stuff and like, oh my gosh, and just finding all of these things that were hidden in all of these different, you know, little spots. I mean, I never, you know, legal documents. Should I have legal documents in the weirdest of ways? I mean, it's actually genius now that I think about it. You know, they should do a class on that, right? I'm just saying. Like, who needs a safe when you got an old person who can hide stuff in your house? You don't need a safe. Get you an old person to hide stuff. I mean, they were finding all kinds of stuff, like bracelets and some ear, because she didn't wear a lot of jewelry. She would keep it, you know, if like her family gave it to her, her husband gave it to her, whatever. But she didn't keep it in like a jewelry box, you know. It would, you know, if it was a ring, it would be taped to the bottom of something that had a recessed bottom and you could tape it on there. So it's still, I mean, genius. Genius. So I'm just saying, do I need to start doing that?
Why not?
I feel like I should. But here's my problem. So I also have this habit. I don't know why, but part of me mentally is like a World War II greatest generation kind of hide stuff person. I will get Christmas presents for people and I will hide them. I've done this for years. And then I forget it. I forget where it's I forget it. I forget where it's at. I have to make notes for myself. So this is one of the reasons why I keep everything itemized. Just, it looks like chaos to you at first glance, but I swear it makes like the best sense ever. And I just cannot. I think I'm going to have to do that. I think I'm going to have to start like maybe hiding money and hiding important stuff like that.
I have some bowls. I could probably do it too.
That was like actually one of the most genius things I've ever seen. Think about it. You're mixing bowls, right? Legal document, bowl. Legal document, bowl.
That's beyond,
genius.
That's beyond money in the Bible.
She was living in like 30, 40, like way ahead of us. My grandfather would keep mounds of cash in the family Bible, in the middle of the coffee table, in the middle of his house. They never locked their door. It was a little 800 square foot house in the Ozarks. They never locked their door. And I remember asking him, I saw him open it one day and I was like, why do you have all this money in here? Aren't you worried? I was like, Grandpa, you need to put that in the bank. He hated banks and he hated hospitals. And I said, it's not very safe for it to be there. And he goes, no heathen's going to look in here. I was like, he's right, because they never had an issue, right? I don't know. But, man, that's something else. So, I just don't know what they think they're going to do with the economy. And this is where the current administration needs to just hammer down on this. All right, so coming up, a few other things to touch on. We're heading towards the bottom of this third hour. And we're going to get into, we've been hitting immigration, we've been hitting some of the cultural aspects as well. And apparently Biden's going to speak at some point. Brooklyn residents are infuriated. They're protesting homeless shelters being built in Brooklyn. Wait, you vote for this stuff. Did you not think you were going to have to live with it? You voted for it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this is breaking. So now, Senate Bill 4, that's us before in Texas, the law that said that the state of Texas could detain, jail, remove illegal immigrants in the state. The Supreme Court has just came out in BC, allows Texas to enforce immigration law. The Biden administration, remember, had sued to block the law, but now, and then there was an injunction against SB 4, but now SCOTUS has said, no, we're all good, but it's still going to play out. It still has to go through the lower courts. But they said that, yes, Texas can enforce SB4 right now that gives local police the power to arrest people who enter illegally, arrest and jail. So that can go into effect. Litigation goes on in lower courts. It still could ultimately, they could block it at a later date. But in the meantime, it's going to continue. The majority did not explain its reasoning. Amy Coney Barrett, in NBC Notes, wrote separately to note the appeals court has yet to weigh in on the issue. So as we were saying on break, the yeeting can commence. We'll come back to this because it's an important one. I also saw this, Kane found this. Plano, Texas, 1.5 million gallons of sewage was leaked into White Rock Creek in Plano. The city said it was a valve failure at a lift station and that it caused wastewater to basically flood and some of the mechanical equipment shut down, and that resulted in a sewage overflow. Tasty.
This is literally California eating my Texas. It's
poo-poo water. Plano said that its drinking water, though, is not effective and it's safe to use. Just don't drink out of that White Rock Creek. Especially if it's got some floaters in there today, so don't. I know, I'm 12 years old. Bear with me. Come on. I earned it. I've earned it. Also, you're like, please don't. Let's get back to more serious issues. A huge volcano erupted again in Iceland, spewing bright orange lava into the air. Don't live by volcanoes. And a chunk of a Boeing 737 fell off a United flight. This one from San Francisco to Southern Oregon. And tomorrow I'll share with you the crocodile handler who almost lost his genitals. Oh. Yeah, we'll have that one for tomorrow. It's not a Florida man story, believe it or not. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And folks, you know, we're going to keep making the case for second term by lowering the cost and creating more jobs. You know, we have grassroots support. You know, so far this campaign, we've had more than 1,300,000 people have contributed under $200 to us.
I fell asleep. That's his campaign. That's his campaign speech. Good heavens. That's... You listen to him and you get tired. Imagine if he was a professor. Oh, that'd be horrible. Welcome back, bottom of this third hour. Do you know the video yesterday that we played where Jill Biden, where she couldn't say the word endometriosis? And if you... I blew up the video, like I maximized it on my screen, and Kamala Harris mouthed the word endometriosis when she was saying it. Like, she was trying not to die on stage, and she mouthed it. So Biden can't hardly speak, and Jill cannot say a word right. What is the dinner table conversation like in this house? Bodega, isn't what she says? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right. So, I don't really think that his speech today is going to go over well. He's been kind of mumbling. He was speaking. Well, apparently. So the whole gist of his speech in Vegas is that they're going to have a national program to reach, this is Axios, Latino voters as they look to reverse gains that Trump has apparently made, and the Republicans have apparently made. They're going to try to talk to Latino voters and housing. So they launched this. They launched this program. He stopped at a Mexican restaurant in Phoenix to launch it. Why then was it bad that time that Trump ate a taco salad? Remember?
Oh, yeah.
What was it like? Hispanic Celebration Day or something. Can't remember what it was.
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo. I thought it was something different. No, he did something different. There was like Hispanic Celebration Month or something like that. He did something different another time. They got mad at him. Yeah, Cinco de Mayo. He had a taco salad and the left lost their mind. He's a giant, just a big old giant fat racist. Biden literally stops at a Mexican restaurant where they have all the taco salads and then announces a national program to reach Latino voters. Is that racist, Kane?
It's certainly a double standard, Dana. Certainly a double standard.
I mean, Trump literally was pictured with a taco salad, and he said, "Happy Cinco de Mayo."
Right. Jill can go out there and say, "Si se puede."
Puede.
And call it bodega. She's a doctor, though.
It's called Latinos con Biden Harris. Wait a minute. What about the X?
That's a good point.
You want to know? Oh, my gosh. And Kane, you like maybe you and Juan can attest to this. Half of you. Anyway. Everybody that I know, every Hispanic, every Latino I know, if you mention Latinx,
oh,
the rage. It is.
It's just more not, stupid. It's
I not, mean, like a light switch.
It's just like annoying. It's not like rage.
No, they're ticked. But I actually was having a conversation about this at an event, and with a bunch of Hispanic voters, and some of them were moderates, because it was more of like a Hispanic organization. You know, you try to go out there and bring as many people, you know, as you can. And the issue that they had was that in the beginning it was just kind of funny, but then they realized the one explanation that I got was how serious the left was in pushing this, and then how the administration began using it in all of their official messaging from the White House, and they thought it was incredibly patronizing, and it just, they could not believe that that seemed to be the focus for the administration for so, like the shallow stuff, not anything substantial, and then that made them mad, and then they felt like it was kind of racist because they kept pushing it, right? Yeah. So, I don't know. They get mad. Everybody I know gets, and I get emails whenever I talk about it. I will hear from that demographic of our listenership. They're probably typing now. I can hear the rage and the keystrokes coming from different parts of the United States. I'm just saying. But they're losing the advantage. They feel like the Democrats feel like because they put so much work in all these identity politics things, like with women and Black Americans and Hispanic Americans, gay Americans, when those demos leave, Democrats, they don't know what to do. They get mad. And so everyone, I don't know, they don't know how to reverse this. I like what Kane said, too, that this isn't about reversing gains Trump made. It's about reversing losses that they created for themselves with their stupid messaging and policies. Really bad messaging and policy. So he's going to Nevada and Phoenix both this week. He's in Nevada today. And then he's got a fundraising trip in Texas. Yeah. They're going to try to shore up his base in Texas. And they're dismissing the polling. And you probably have heard their surrogates speak to this. But you can dismiss the polling on how they're hemorrhaging minority voters all you want to. The fact that he has to do this, that he has to make such a play like this, tells you everything you need to know to the contrary. Nate Silver of 538 says that Biden is only plus 7 with the Hispanic community. In 2020, he was plus 24. Now the left hates Nate Silver again. They go back and forth hating and liking him. Like, they really liked him in 2016. And then when he was like, guys, you know, you're probably going to, you know, not perform as well. Then they got wrong. Then the right hated him for a while because he was telling everyone there really isn't a red wave. What are you talking about? Then the right got mad at him. And now the right likes him again and the left hates him. I mean, he is like the most liked and hated person. Just depends on what he's saying, you know, any day of the week.
It's incredibly predictable.
Yeah. But they were plus 24 in 2020. Democrats with Hispanics. Now it's only plus 7. But get this. So in 2020, with Black voters, they were plus 83. Now it's plus 55.
Oh, man.
It's still a lot, but that's a significant drop. What?
And that's what people are willing to admit to these pollsters.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, because it's, I don't think people are honest with pollsters. I really don't. My favorite thing to do is when I get a pollster that's doing a push pull is I love to mess with them so bad. I'm like an energy vampire. I will eat up an hour of their lives and feed off it. Just, they get so upset. But anyway, back to my point. Be nice. So there, that's his whole point. And then he's going to talk about housing. This is a Las Vegas publication. He's going to he's talking housing. His housing agenda. Why the hell does the federal government have a housing agenda?
Thank you.
You don't even do the basic stuff you're supposed to do, right? You don't need to add anything else to the plate. You don't need a housing agenda. So they said that they're looking at $258 billion. This is for the 2025 budget in housing investments. What the hell does that mean? Where's Kane? Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and add it.
I just want a government stay out of my life agenda.
And it's your birthday. I feel like you should get that.
Yeah, if we can make that happen.
For Kane's birthday, can we have that?
I appreciate that.
That would be nice. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Stay out of my life agenda. So they are 258. That's a vote buy-off. What are you going to do? Buy people's houses? This is like some Orban-level stuff. Viktor Orban out of Hungary. Can I just sidebar? I don't know why the right, some people on the right, it's a small group, are so in love with him. Because they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, he's saying all the things that we like. Oh my gosh, but he's also giving taxpayer-funded benefits to people in the form of welfare. And that's not a conservative policy. That's the housing. This is not anything unlike what he has implemented in Hungary. Just saying. All right, so the whole issue, they're going to try to shore this up. They've got the vice president, and they call him the second gentleman.
Still makes me laugh.
I'm trying to get past it so I can continue the story. They're going to visit every battleground state and build up the organizing infrastructure. So they're you have to realize Democrats haven't even started. They haven't even started to push. They're going to. When they get going, it's, I think some things will change, but it also depends on, you know, economic factors as well. And making sure that Republicans don't shoot themselves in their own feet. That's a huge part of it. A huge part of it. And I think highlighting some of the crime and issues that we're seeing as well. Like, for instance, I have two stories here. NBC's reporting that a guy who illegally immigrated from Honduras had been in trouble before he even did so. He killed a bunch of people with a machete in Honduras. Jose Barrera entered the country illegally through Eagle Pass under Biden, and then he stabbed two people to death in O'Fallon, Missouri on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Thanks, open borders. I mean, he murdered people with a machete in Honduras and came into the United States illegally. But if you try to come in legally and you've ever been in trouble for like doing drugs, like say smoking pot or something, oh no, you cannot come in. Depending on what the conviction was, no, they won't let you in. That's actually true. That's one of the reasons why they say that. What's that ginger dude from Britain?
Harry?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Harry Ginger?
Yeah.
The Prince Ginger Harry? Him? In his book, he was writing about doing drugs, and that's like an exclusionary offense, essentially. You would be excluded from consideration from getting, you know, like a permanent status in the United States as a result of that. Interesting. But hey, this guy can kill people with a machete. You know, the virtue is entering illegally. Entering illegally. That's the issue. That's unbelievable. So tomorrow, one of the things, have you been seeing these stories? I have, of squatters in these blue states. I've been collecting stories over the past month about this. They're all in these blue states. And this latest one was in New York. This woman, she has it's Queens, so she has $1 million house. And she inherited, after I guess her parents passed away, she inherited their home. They left it to her and she was selling it. And literally, while she was selling the house, squatters moved in. And then she changed the lock. They came back. And the police arrested her because of the landlord-tenant law. Even though she isn't a landlord and they never paid her a dime. They stole her house. But in New York, it's illegal to turn off the utilities and change the locks or remove the belongings of someone who claims that they're a tenant. Even if they're not a tenant. Even if they're a squatter, you can't do it. Oh my gosh. I have a question. And we'll talk about this more tomorrow. But just let me just put this out here for you guys to think about. If the police come, couldn't you say, yeah, they were squatting and I'm squatting on their squatting? Wouldn't that work? No, there were squatters, but I'm the most recent squatter. I got squatter's rights. What, can you just do that?
I don't even
theoretically.
How did squatter's rights become a thing? How did that even become a thing? In what instance is a squatter?
This is housejacking.
I know. And it's all legal, apparently.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, there's states like California, New York. There's a handful of states
that protect
it. I
don't understand the evolution on how we got here.
We're going to talk about this tomorrow. It is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. I know you guys have been seeing this. I have a handful of headlines about this. But in New York, they actually, yeah, you can't change the locks or remove somebody's stuff. If they move into your house, say you go to the grocery store and you come back and somebody moved in. No joke. No joke. You will own nothing and you will be happy. See? That's the breakdown of law and order.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
We have a significant increase in burglaries from organized groups that are outside this country, that are coming into the country, and they are targeting high-end residents. And we are addressing that specifically in a task force fashion through multi-agencies.
Lots of these break-ins have been recorded by security cameras in recent years. Detectives tell me many tourist burglars who've been arrested often entered the U.S. through a visa waiver program. Many were visiting from Chile and other South American countries. The LAPD says there have been more than 900 residential burglaries across the city since January.
Yeah, they're going, and they're all pretty much in blue states. And so you have people that come through and then they target. And so we got from squatting to robbing.
They're coming from other countries to do this.
Yeah. Where are you going to go on vacation? I'm going to go rob some people. I'm going to go to California and go rob them. I mean, that's their, you know, you voted for those policies, though. So just saying. I know that there's also some, is it Chile? What, there's the one South American country where we actually don't have the strictest oversight over background checks and documentation and all of that stuff.
There's actually several countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go. This story, the FTC, did you guys hear about this? We got like 1 minute here. I'm going to try to get this in. The FTC is apparently mad over McDonald's broken ice cream machines. They sent a letter to the U.S. Copyright Office saying that the commercial soft serve machines, they said that they're it's the antitrust division that called for exemptions of those machines because apparently franchise owners have to do their own repairs or hire a third party person to fix them. What? I think it's a long-running joke about their broken ice cream machines, but I've never had.
I've heard from workers that they intentionally won't run it because they hate to clean it. So they'll just tell you that it's not working.
Yeah, it's not working. It's broken. Again, always. It's just broken. It never worked. We just got a broken one. It sits there. That's all we do. Today in stupidity, birthday boy.
All right, this is Joe Biden in Reno, Nevada today, campaigning with all that energy. Juan, go ahead and play this here.
I'm going on too long. I apologize.
Look at that. He's like, I went too long. I apologize. And they start throwing the
Isn't
music
Isn't that the
up
Visiting
there.
Angels music?
It is. It is.
Visiting Angels. It is. There it is. Yeah. Lovely. Lovely. All right, folks. That does it for us today. And make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Have a great rest of your day. I'll be back with you tomorrow.